prepared for this hookup. But that's modern technology, and it's good. Now, for some time we've been considering the Holy Spirit, and more recently we've been looking at Genesis chapter 24, which deals with the Holy Spirit. The servant here is a type, as we've seen, of the Holy Spirit, and Abraham, the type of God the Father. Now, let's turn to chapter 24, please, and it's the longest chapter in the book of Genesis, and one of the longest in the Bible. Left to me, I'd like to sit here about 4 hours and go through the whole chapter. But that would take too long. Little children here would get restless. So we won't do that. Genesis chapter 24, Abraham was old. I heard something of great interest on the MacNeil Lyra presentation in the last week. An outstanding economist, and they were talking about Medicare and HOMs and HMOs and all that sort of thing, you know. And this man said, you know, the answer to the Medicare problem is this: we're having too many old people. Do I have to say any more? They may want to get rid of me. But he says, we cannot manage Medicare financially. There are too many old people. So I concluded, well, then you got to get rid of them. They're getting rid of them at the beginning of life, aborting them. Now they're after us older people. Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed him in all things. Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, now if Abraham is a picture of God the Father, and we saw that, and the servant is a picture or a type of the Holy Spirit, why would Abraham say to his oldest servant, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear? Why would God the Father require God the Spirit to swear? Remember, we looked at that last Sunday. Well, remember what we read in Hebrews. God spoke to Abraham, and he couldn't swear by anybody greater than himself, so he swore by himself. So God the Father, God the Spirit, it isn't a question of the Spirit being submissive to the Father. They're both God. God couldn't find anybody greater than himself, so he swore by the Holy Spirit. Now, I will make thee swear, verse 3, by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of earth, thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. Thou shalt go unto my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must thy needs bring thy son again into the land from whence thou camest? We didn't go into that. We'll have to revert and go into that. That's very significant. It's a beautiful picture. The Lord is in heaven. It's a question, is he to come back to get the church? No. The church will be caught up in due time, but he is going to come back. And I'm glad I will be here when he comes back to earth. Aren't you? He's coming back to earth in judgment. You'll go on. Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee. Thou shalt take a wife unto my son. If the woman be not willing to follow thee, then thou shalt declare from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again. And we looked at this last Sunday. If the woman be not willing to follow thee, God doesn't force anybody to do anything. He doesn't force you into heaven, he doesn't force you into hell. It's an individual judgment. Verse 9, servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. Servant took 10 camels, we looked at the word 10, of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Noah. He made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to water. Now, what did God tell Abraham to do? Let's look back again. Verse 3. I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of the earth, thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, thou shalt go, and so forth. Those were Abraham's orders to the servant. But look at verse 12. He said, O Lord God of my master, I pray thee. Abraham didn't tell him to pray. He said, go and get a partner for my son. Why did the servant pray? Abraham never told him that. Why did he pray? What is prayer? You remember the story of the little boy? I imagine he's about the size of some of these in here. Little fellow on a Monday morning after a nice weekend and Sunday school and so forth. He's running to school. And then an older man saw him who knew him and stopped and said, wait, son, let me ask you something. Did you say your prayers last night? And the little boy said, no. And this man said, why didn't you say your prayers? He said, I didn't need anything. Is that why we pray? Is that the reason? You only pray when you need something? Why then should we pray? Why do we pray? We pray because we are needy, yes. But more than that, we pray because we are dependent. We are a dependent people. And that's where the atheists and evolutionists, that's where they're getting into trouble. They want to be independent of God. We pray not because we want something. We don't have to need anything. We still need to pray. We are dependent upon God and upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before we go any further, and this may take the whole time that we have, some principles of prayer. Luke chapter 18. A few principles of prayer given by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Luke chapter 18. And he, the Lord Jesus Christ, spake a parable unto them to this end. Sisters, I hope you understand that you are included. Don't be deluded by these stupid people out there who want to change the Bible. It's too masculine, it's too patriarchal, patrician, I should say, and we must include the women. That's utter nonsense. All you have to do is know the English language. Something of interest. Now hold that place, and something occurs to me, just occurred to me. Book of Genesis, please. I think it's chapter 5. Something of real interest. Oh, yes, chapter 5. You know, one time a sister in the meeting asked me, why can't my husband be named by my name? Why must I be named by his name? Do you know? Chapter 5 of Genesis. This is the book of the generations or history of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, blessed them. What did he call their name? Yeah, that's why we named the woman after the man. God said, you call your two of you after his name. And yet you notice even with Mrs. Clinton, she doesn't use his name very often. She uses her own name. How far we've gotten away from basic truth. And the further we get away from basic truth, the worse off we're going to be. He called their name, Adam and Eve, Adam. That's the divine order. And it doesn't make the woman inferior. I want to talk about that one day. There is nothing in the Bible to suggest that women are inferior. The Lord said it is not good for Adam to be alone. And so he made Eve to be a company of him, a complement of him. Well, now, if you remember your geometry, angle A complements angle B. Well, what does angle B do to angle A? Right. Sure. So you need the man and the woman to complement each other, to complete each other. Now, we could talk about that too. Well, that's not the subject. Come back, please. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. He spake a parable to them to this end, that men, people, ought always to pray and not to faint. Ought. That's a military term. Has nothing to do with how you feel or what you want to do. It's a military term. It is your duty to pray. That's what that verse is saying. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself said, it is your duty to pray. I want you to pray. To live up to the standards, you must pray. It's a military word. Another reason why we pray. God said we should pray. Now, when are we to pray? Always. How do you do that? Driving down the street and you're driving your car, how do you play always? There's a car in front of you, a little child running across the street. And you see, we make the mistake of thinking that you're supposed to close your eyes necessarily. You can do that when you're home and when you're parking. But you better keep them open when they're on the highway. And yet the Lord says, pray always. Now, let's look at a couple of scriptures. Ephesians 6 and 18. There's several of them, but I'll just touch on two. You're always to pray. How are you going to do it? Ephesians 6, 18. The final portion of the Christian's armor. Praying when? Always. And notice what he said. Pray with all prayer. What does that mean? Pray with all prayer. You know the story of the man that was going down the street and saw the fire engines? And he saw the smoke coming up. He said, oh my, that's Mr. Jones's house. Lord, take care of Mr. Jones. You know the rest of it, don't you? As he got near, he saw it was his house. Then he prayed in his prayer. That's what this says. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. We're going to talk about that sometime. Prayer must be in the Holy Spirit. What enough? Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all things. Watch for every opportunity to pray. That's how you pray always. Watch for every opportunity to pray. One more along this line, please. Colossians 4 and 2. By the way, for the younger students, almost everything you find in Ephesians, you find in Colossians. Colossians 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same. Watch for every opportunity to pray and do it with thanksgiving. So we're to pray always. Now, I want to suggest something to you, beloved. Watch for every opportunity. In addition, pray regularly. Pray systematically. A couple of scriptures. Psalm 5 and 3. Psalm 5 and verse 3. Pray systematically. Psalm 5, verse 3. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. Pray every morning. That's once a day. You get the same thing in Psalm 88. Let's turn to Psalm 88, please. Pray every morning. Always pray. Verse 1. O Jehovah God of my salvation, I have cried day and night. Whenever you get a chance, pray in the day and pray at night too. You know, it's like taking medicine. Some medicines are once a day, some are twice a day, and some are three times a day. But we also have praying three times a day. Well, Daniel 6, there's several. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Pray every day. Pray day and night. And now we have prayed three times a day. Daniel 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went into his house, his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees. That's another subject we want to take up. We won't get to it today. What posture should you have when you're praying? Daniel was kneeling here. So it's nice to kneel. But can you kneel when you're driving your car and you stop for a red light? At least you can, but it wouldn't be advisable. All right. But we'll get to that posture in prayer. That's a nice subject too. Now verse 10. He kneeled upon his knees how many times? Three times a day. So you have one praying every morning, you have one praying morning and night, and you have one praying three times a day. Nehemiah prayed three times a day. Acts 10 and 9. When should we pray? Always pray. Acts 10 and 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew near unto the city, Peter went upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. What time of the day was that? Their day started at 6 a.m., so the sixth hour was noon. It's interesting what's in the Bible, isn't it? Well, look at verse 30, please, or the same chapter. And said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and alms are in remembrance before the Lord. Now read the whole chapter and you find that this prayer was at night time. So it's interesting what the Lord would have us to do and how often he would have us to pray. Once every day, morning and night, three times a day, at noontime, at nighttime. Anytime is the time for prayer. Oh, by the way, there is an old saying. If you find you are too busy to pray, you're too busy. You're doing more than God wants you to do. We are to pray. It's a military duty. It's not a request. It's something that we're supposed to do. Oh, but here's a nice one. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Too many people don't do this. This is a hard one. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 11. The Lord speaks and he says, it repents me that I have set up Saul to be king. He has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. No. Everybody has this? It grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. When's the last time you prayed all night? There are occasions when you can be so grieved and burdened about something, you can't sleep. So you might as well pray. All night. Now, let me suggest this. Trace the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's the creator. He made everything. And yet he prayed. And it's fascinating to trace his prayer life. How often he prayed. And on one occasion, he prayed all night. Now, I remember in New York City, this was years ago, I was much younger then. And it wasn't decided. The sisters decided that they wanted to have an all-night prayer meeting, which was nice. No question. And they started at 8:30 and prayed on till 8:30 in the morning. So the brethren thought that they would have an all-night prayer meeting. And they started at 8:30 and quit at 2 o'clock in the morning. Couldn't make it all night. It's not easy. But there is such a time to pray all night. Now, coming back to Luke chapter 18. You are to pray. And what does it say? Not faint. Don't give up. Now, that expression will answer a lot of things. Because when we read about this servant, he prayed for something and he got it right away. Are we going to get what we ask for right away all the time? In fact, probably not most of the time. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And he goes on saying, there was in a city a judge who feared not God nor regarded men. Do you think that there are in the United States any judges like this? Yeah, I'm afraid so too. There are plenty of them. They don't fear anybody. You can bribe them. They don't fear anybody. There was a widow in that city, and she came often unto him. Because that's in the Revised Version, that she came often. Avenge me of mine enemies, she said. He would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow is bothering me. That's what that word is. I know your Bible says trouble. Because this woman is bothering me, I will avenge her, lest by her continuous coming she weary me. The Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? Now notice the next clause. Though he bear long with them. So you're not going to get an answer to your prayer always right away. There is a verse in Habakkuk chapter 2 on this same subject. You know what it says? Though he be long, he will not be late. You see, when we pray, we don't quite know how our prayers fit into God's plan, and we're going to discuss that. Though he be long, he will not be late. God is never late. Read through the Gospel of John and see how often it is written, his time was not come. His time was not come. His time was not come, and then all of a sudden the hour has come. He may be long, but he will not be late. Look at chapter 11, please, in the Gospel of Luke. 25 minutes after, and we haven't started. We read in Luke 18 that we are not to faint. We're not to give up. That means that you may have to wait. All prayers are not going to be answered immediately, but wait. Now, Luke chapter 11, verse 5, he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, loan me 3 loaves. A friend of mine who was in his journey, has come to me. I have nothing to set before him. And he from within answered and said, trouble me not. The door is now shut and my children are in bed with me. I cannot rise and give thee. I'm going to pause here. Do you know that there's a similar situation in the Song of Solomon? Where the bride's, there's the bridegroom knocking. And she said, I've bathed. I put on my night clothes. I'm in bed. I can't come. The bride talking to the bridegroom. And sometimes we are that way. I'm quoting, you see. So don't say that I said this, but I heard a brother say this. Sometimes we're too lazy to be polite. Let's go on. Verse 8. Oh, let's read 7 again. Trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are in bed with me. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence. So we're not always going to get an answer right away. We have to persist in our prayers. Because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Now, how does that apply to us? Verse 9. I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. But don't only seek. Just don't ask. Look around. You want something? You want a new assignment? You want a job? Well, look for one. I mean, fine. By all means, pray for one. But you can't just sit there and wait for it to come to you. You have to seek. And then you don't only seek, but you knock. And on Friday night, we were with some friends whom we have known for a long time. And their oldest daughter was telling us of the difficulties that she had in getting from one school to another. All kinds of blocks. And if she had blocks, her husband had more. He was born in Zimbabwe and he didn't have this qualification and the other qualification. He was blocked wherever he turned. They asked. They knocked. You know he's got the position today? So God doesn't always answer immediately. But we have to persist. Importunity. We have to seek. We have to knock. And we have to wait on the Lord. Now, let's come back to Genesis 24. This is the part that we all like. Genesis chapter 24. Now we're going to read from verse 12. He prays. Send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Now notice his prayer. It's very specific. Behold, I stand here by the well of water. The daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Let it come to pass. My. This is something. He's telling God what he wants. You think God is going to answer? Now, he's going to answer, but that's not always going to be the case. And there's a reason why he was able to tell God what he wants. Because the servant himself is a type of God. And God knows God. God the Spirit knows God the Father. So he knew what to ask for. Let it come to pass. That the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, give drink, and I will give thy camel's drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness to my master. It came to pass before he had done speaking. Oh my. Before he had done speaking. This is thrilling, beloved. But let me warn you, it's not going to happen every day. But this is what God can do. Before he had done speaking, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham. And you may wonder why all of those names are put in there. We're going to see why they're put in there. Because that's going to give us a lineup on one important character in this chapter. I remember, you'll pardon the deviation, but wherever you see these names, read them. Brother and I with the Lord, he was in the Brooklyn Assembly in New York, and he said this: read those names. For one thing, it will teach you patience. Right? And the second thing, if your name were there, wouldn't you want your name read? All right. So we have all these names. Now, verse 16, the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. She went down to the well, filled her pitcher. The servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." She said, "Drink, my lord," and she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking." She hastened and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for his camels. And verse 21, the man wondered. Wouldn't you wonder? All the details that he asked for, there they are, right. He wondered at her and held his peace, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Now he got an immediate answer, right? Now turn with me to 1 Kings, please, chapter 18. God does sometimes answer immediately, but remember what we read in Luke 1. Don't faint. That means you may have to wait a while. 1 Kings chapter 18. We know this well. Verse 25. Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, "Choose you one bullock for yourselves, dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, and put no fire under it." And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of the Lord, and so forth and so forth. They cried aloud, verse 28, and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out. My, nothing happened. Verse 37. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord. That's an immediate answer, wasn't it? That's what we want. That's what we like. There are times when God does answer immediately. But come with me now, and you know this well. I believe it's in Matthew. Matthew 14, yes. An immediate answer. Matthew 14. Verse 22. Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship to go before him unto the other side, while he sent multitudes away. You know the story well, so we're going to. Verse 28. Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." He said, "Come." When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried, saying, look how short this was. "Lord, save me." Three words. And what happened? The next verse said, immediately. He got an answer to his prayer. Now that's real nice when you get an answer right away. But I want to emphasize what we saw in Luke chapter 18. We are not always going to get an answer. We often have to wait. Someone has said that God answers prayer in three ways. He says yes, no, and most of the time he says wait. And that's the part that irritates us, isn't it? But we have to learn to wait on the Lord. And he got exactly what he asked for. Give me 5 minutes and we'll go fast. Our prayers must be in the will of God. If the prayer isn't in the will of God, he's not going to answer it. And that will bring us to the next subject, which we won't touch on. How do you know what the will of God is? All right. Our prayers must be in the will of God. Matthew 26. This we've read many, many times. Matthew 26. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ himself, very Son of God. And I like this so much. Matthew 26, verse 39. Our Lord went a little farther, fell on his face, and prayed. Have you ever wanted something so bad that you fell on your face? I mean, literally. Maybe you didn't want it bad enough. The Lord fell on his face. He was serious. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. The prayer must be in the will of God. He's not going to answer it if it's not in his will. And then again in the 42nd verse, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. We just can't call on anything, look at anything, say, I want this. We've got to pray in the will of God. Let me see. Romans 1 and 10. And then I'm going to ask you to look up all the scriptures. There are quite a number of scriptures in which the will of God is mentioned. All things should be done by the believer in the will of God. Romans 1, verse 10. Let's start at 9. God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Now that's going to bring us to another subject. Whom should we pray for? But we'll get to that. Verse 10, making request. If by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. The will of God. Prayer must be in his will. I'm sorry, the time is gone. I'd like to go further. How do you know the will of God? Let's just get started on that. The book of Hezekiah. How do you know the will of God? We must pray in his will, but how do we know what his will is? Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2. We went over this recently. Don't let the little fellow upset you. It's perfectly all right. This is the best place for him to be. No, I mean it. And you'll be amazed what he's taking in. You think he's not taking in something? He knows that you're reading the Bible. So bring him. Don't be embarrassed. Now, Habakkuk, how do you know the will of God? Verse 1. Habakkuk says, I will stand upon my watch. See, if God is going to speak to you, you've got to watch. You can't fall asleep and expect the Lord to speak to you. You've got to be watching. And now, watch this now. I'm going to watch to see what he will say. Now, how do you see what somebody says? You hear what they say. How do you see what they say? Very simple. If I write a little note here to Jeff, please turn down the volume. He is seeing what I have said. Right? What God says is in this book, and if we want to know the will of God, we've got to know it from the book. And I assure you that 95% of the things that God wants us to know are in the Bible. And the other 5% is no problem. The other 5% is no problem. Oh, shall I take this course at school? Don't know. So I take that course. I have an offer of 3 jobs. Which one shall I take? And these things happen. Now, the Bible doesn't say go and take course 3. How do you know what course to take? Romans 8. Shall we turn to it? Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit. We haven't touched that subject yet either. The leading, the Spirit leads. But you have to listen to it. And he speaks very quietly. He tells us in 1 Kings chapter 19 what his voice is like. A gentle, soft whisper. And that's why we don't often hear him, because we want the thunder to clap. And he said, you get quiet by yourself, real quiet, and I speak to you. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Now, I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. Every child of God is not a son and a daughter of God. We're all children of God. That can't change. But every child of God, and you get it in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, every child of God is not a son and a daughter of God. Remember the prodigal son? What did he say? I am no more worthy to be called thy son. He didn't say I'm not worthy to be called thy child. He's always his child. But sonship has to do with obedience and walking according to the desire and the standard of the Lord. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And I assure you that you can know whom to marry, you can know what job to take, you can know if God wants you to go here or there. If you will just walk in the Spirit and wait, he'll make it very clear. Now, I could give you some instances from my own experience. I remember on one occasion in my training, there was a certain area that I wanted to go into. Oh, I like that area. But the powers that be wanted me in another area. And I went here and I went there. Oh, I went all over trying to get my way. And at last, I decided, Lord, if this is your will, I'm going to do it. And he assured me over the beacon. His Spirit confirmed with my Spirit. This is what I wanted to do. And I've been doing it ever since. By the way, the area that I wanted to go into, I'm glad I didn't go into. I won't tell you why. But God, his will is in his word, and where he doesn't tell you exactly what car to buy, you could know it if you're in his will and walking with him. He'll confirm it whether he wants you to buy that car or not. 15 minutes over time. Terrible. Holy Father, we bow in thy presence. We give thee thanks again for thy presence with us, the presence of our Lord and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Even as we worship this morning, how we thank thee for the privilege of worship, none daring to molest us. We thank thee for the freedom that is ours. We thank thee too for the ministry of our brother on the book of Acts. Thank thee for young men who have given themselves to the study of thy word. Bless them, each one. We thank thee for the one that played the instrument. Bless all of these. And we think of Craig, who was away in thy service. And now for the words that we've just listened to, may our hearts be strengthened. We are required to pray. We are required always to pray, to be an attitude of prayer. And we are not to faint. To ask, seek, and knock. Just wait on the Lord, and he will make it clear. Dismiss us now with thy blessing, we pray. Accept our thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. I usually say that I will give you back the time. I don't promise that. Well, nobody seems...
They don't seem as if they want to go. We have all our meetings in the morning. And real good, solid teaching. And we are so grateful to the Lord. We appreciate it very much. Very honest.
Oh, thank you.
We appreciate it. Make life work.